You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Yet any time you and I question the schemes of the do-gooders, we're denounced as being against their humanitarian goals. They say we're always against things, we're never for anything. Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so. Now,
this is August 14, 2020. Those are the words of Ronald Reagan from the past, and yet his words from 1964 echo perfectly with what we're seeing today with the left and what they want for this country. That speech, by the way, titled A Time for Choosing, it was given during the 1964 presidential campaign, but I want to make sure you understand, it was not at the GOP convention in San Francisco. That happened in July 64 when Barry Goldwater was nominated. But Reagan then used that speech October 27, just days before the election, and the speech launched him to national prominence. It's now being circulated a lot on YouTube and other sources, social media, and again, it clearly in many places could refer to today's Democrats. That was a different time in the sense that we were at war with Russia during the Cold War, and we had all this going on in 64 that we have tried to move past, including racial strife that had existed in 64, and yet we still have some of it around us now. But the main point being, what the left wanted to do, what the left was going to do to this nation if they continued to control it. You want to hear more of that speech, and I'll have it for you coming up over the next 2 hours. And we are going to focus on what this Biden-Harris ticket means. You know, since day one, when Biden announced that Harris was going to be his VP, if you recall, you heard that program. We began that day with the Hail to the Chief, the music you hear when the president appears on stage. And then I uttered the words which I hope will not come true. Ladies and gentlemen, President Harris. Even saying it now sends chills down my spine, and I hope yours. But from that day, I started calling her President Harris because she did not sign on just to be VP. No way. She is there knowing that Biden will not last 4 years, one way or the other. He may not even last a year. He may not even get out of the inauguration ceremony without having to step aside. And I will tell you right now, there is a lot of push and pressure inside the Democrat Party for Biden to just do his thing, stand up there, help us, represent us, our party being moderate, and got all the mainstream media going along and saying that Harris is also pragmatic and moderate, and she is not. And once we get there, then we can, Joe, you can go back to the basement. President Harris will take over now. Yeah, we should be worried about that. We'll get into that and a lot more over the next 2 hours. Also, James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, going to join us. We're going to talk about the rioting in our streets and how these are organized events. And not only organized, but often have the blessings of the left. And in fact, if not the blessings, at least the acceptance. Not really speaking out against them, condemning them. Just let them happen. And also, within the midst of what we're seeing in our streets and what the left plans for our nation, we're going to see a major destruction of our country if we continue down this road. Look at Chicago. By the way, the Cook County prosecutor going on an editorial talking tough on crime, but is she really tough on crime? We're going to have Chicago and Portland and Seattle all over our nation. The mainstream media, by the way, ignoring that Trump administration brokered that Mideast deal between Israel and United Arab Emirates. They're just not going to give him any airtime on it, just going to ignore it. But wait, Joe Biden's now stepping up saying, claiming credit, saying, hey, I helped lay the groundwork for all of that. You think they'll now visit that part of the story? You know that they will find a way to do it. And before we wrap today, we're going to have some real fun at the last hour. Hank Williams Jr. going into the Country Music Hall of Fame. You know I'm not going to miss an opportunity to have some of Hank Williams Jr. music and, of course, reliving some of his life and lifestyle. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All kinds of crazy left-wing policies and criticize President Trump. And not like we haven't seen this show before. I mean, think about what she said. Democrat governors won't let Americans go back to work, and then they blame President Trump for unemployment. I mean, it's crazy, the policy. So, Democrats won't denounce the violence. Democrats won't denounce the cancel culture mob. Democrats, they won't denounce all the crazy things that are going out there in our culture. Won't denounce this crazy idea of defunding the police. That's what their ticket. That's the Biden-Harris ticket today.
That is the Biden-Harris ticket today. And those are the words of Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, appearing on Fox Business Network's Lou Dobbs Tonight. And he laid out 3 points that are very clear. They will not denounce the things that are tearing this country apart. And they will then fabricate and make up other stories and excuses. For instance, one of the things Harris quickly seized on, that we need leadership in this country, and we've got a president who cannot seem to handle a major epidemic, and our economy is destroyed because of it. Well, the economy is not really destroyed. It has been damaged, and yet we're bringing it back. We're already seeing a lot of signs showing things are looking better. But not once, when she was going through all this, tying Trump to the pandemic, not once did she mention China. Not once did she say it came from China. Not once did she say that Joe Biden, the man she's running with on the Democrat ticket, denounced Trump when he started trying to stop planes coming in from China direct, and later from Europe, saying by coming out of China, Biden immediately said, you're xenophobic. That would do nothing. And yet, Dr. Anthony Fauci, which the left will hold up as a prime example of great science, except when he says something that kind of wrinkles them a little bit, and they try to step away a little bit and then come back. Nor Nancy Pelosi at that time, also saying it was going to be useless and encouraging people, let's meet me for lunch in Chinatown. Everything's just fine. And Trump is just, again, showing his fear of yellow people this time. They claim and beat the drum repeatedly that Donald Trump's campaign is built on fear and divisiveness. You think their campaign is not built on the same? I've got an apology I guess I have to make. I'm still trying to decide, am I going to make it or not? Or am I really guilty? Let me weigh it out a little bit more and go through some other things here. I can try to multitask. I'll be talking to you about one subject, but somewhere deep, deep in the recesses of my mind, yes, I have a small mind. Somewhere back there, the wheels will continue turning until what I'm going to say about this, quote, apology. I'll come back to it in a minute. But President Trump, in an interview of Breitbart News, talking about the Biden ticket. He said, if Biden wins, it will be chaos in this country. You'll have Portlands all over the United States, which is anarchism. You'll have much higher prices. Regulations will all be put back in. You'll be joining these ridiculous treaties where they're meant to take, like the Paris Accord, meant to take advantage of the U.S., costing us tens of billions of dollars. Your taxes will quadruple what they are now. The stock market will crash because of his regulations and taxes, and your 401ks will crash. Now, you might have seen some from the left that the Wall Street and bankers kind of like this Biden-Harris ticket. They might not have liked the Biden-Elizabeth Sanders ticket as much because she was kind of like Bernie Sanders, too much socialism, but they're looking at this might work for us, but they really know better if they start breaking it down. Because, again, they will start reimposing regulations, except when they want to give someone a favor. And Senator Harris, or would-be President Harris, has given favors left and right in the past, so it would not be unthinkable that that would begin to happen. All right, maybe I should make this apology right now. Yesterday, I made the remark. I didn't go back and check it. I had a listener respond to my Facebook page and saying that I was need to check my facts because I said Senator Harris called Trump a racist. I did not get a chance to go back and actually look at it. I started to, but I just didn't get around to it. So for that extent, I'll apologize. But I know what they are referring to. And, of course, they put up a Snopes piece declaring that she never said Biden is a racist. Did I say Trump? Biden, that Biden's a racist. She did not say those words specifically, and if I left the impression, or if I even said she directly called Joe Biden a racist, I do need to apologize. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But my point was she has certainly suggested, when she challenged him on the debates constantly about his alliances with segregationist senators during the past, such as Senator Byrd, who was linked to the KKK as a grand wizard, and when she chastised Biden for being against busing and school integration, pointing out that I was one of those little girls on a bus, and Senator Cory Booker did the same thing, and Biden ended up making somewhat of an apology, somewhat. And Cory Booker denounced it, said that wasn't really an apology. So my apology here is very clear. If I said that Senator Harris said that Biden is a racist in those exact words with the wording I just used, then I think I'm wrong. I think I'm wrong. But the import is still there. And the left has no problems with suggesting if Donald Trump says something about, well, at the rallies in Charlotte, there were good people on both sides, and they immediately label that as racist. You see how the game's played? The Democrat National Convention begins next Monday. Yes, Monday. At the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Next Monday. It's going to be there that quickly. And we'll conclude by Thursday, August 20th. And, of course, during that convention, barring anything totally unforeseen and expected at this time, Joe Biden will get the nomination for president, and you'll see Harris as his VP. There should be no surprises. Unless Biden stumbles or gets pushed off the stage and a decision's made on the spot that, well, let's just make Harris our presidential nominee right now. Oh, you could say it won't happen. I don't think it'll happen, but I think Biden better be very careful going forward. But if they win, and what their intent to do to this nation, let's go back to some words from Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio. He has a warning for us.
Are we going to make America great again, or are we going to make America San Francisco? That's the choice, and I think Americans are beginning to see that very clearly, and I think Donald Trump's going to not only win Ohio, I think he's going to win again and be president for another 4 years.
And again, those are the words of Congressman Jordan. Are we going to make America great again or make it San Fran S-hole? My words, not his. You know the situation in San Fran S-hole, the way it's been documented left and right constantly. I'm looking at a piece written for the City Journal, San Francisco. Well, let me read some of this, because this is what the left has been doing out there. They have a massive homeless problem. And listen, for folks who are truly homeless and they have no ability and no effort, and maybe many of them do have mental illness, of course, many hooked on drugs. On one hand, you feel for them, but on the other hand, you think, you know, how much of that did you create? How much were we supposed to pay to get you out of it? That doesn't mean you don't have some sympathy, but you reach a point where political leaders need to show leadership and not just acquiesce and enable. And that's what they're doing in San Francisco. The article in the City Journal titled, San Francisco Hostage to the Homeless. Part of the article reads, the city enables the entire homeless life, not just drug use. Free food is everywhere. Outreach workers roam the city, handing out beef jerky, crackers, other snacks. Across from one encampment, a man announces today's lunch selection at the church feeding line, fried chicken. And then he brandishes a half-eaten leg before tossing it into the street, not a trash can, into the street. Microwaves at Whole Foods are available for them to use when they want to. They're allowed to go into movies free if they don't have any money. They just get in there and sleep. Free water at Starbucks if you're homeless. Starbucks also giving out Java and pastries. And if they don't get enough, one barista at one Starbucks said, someone steals food and coffee at least every day. We're not allowed to do anything. The policy is we can't chase them. And this article also points out the homeless are wired. Most vagrants have smartphones, which they use to barter goods. They use free Wi-Fi or steal passcodes. And then pointing out how things have changed. Doing an interview with a 31-year-old woman who had been in Martinez, California, northeast of San Fran, 4 years ago. She has a long criminal record. She left Martinez and went to San Fran. And why? She said, I came for the benefits. I came for the benefits, including they give drugs to dull the effect of other opiates. And so here she is in San Francisco because she knows they will take care of her in San Francisco by providing whatever she needs and wants, food, drugs, and of course for those that are now putting up in these hotels, how's that been working out? We told you the other day that some of the homeless in the housing, the hotels that they either commandeered or told the hotels you must rent to us, and taxpayer money is paying for them to have a nice room with an air conditioning. Wonder how many people in San Fran, you don't need much air conditioning in that region, but either don't have air and heat when they need it, and these folks are being put in hotel rooms and they've got it. Yeah, we want this whole country, the entire country, to become another San Fran asshole. And don't forget the whole idea behind the left again is to deal with defunding police departments, taking money from police departments, cutting them up. And this word coming out that just absolutely smacked me in the face today, and I just, dadgummit, I cannot believe this happened. Not in the city of my birth, Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, voting last night, the city council, unanimous vote to cut $150 million from the Austin Police Department budget. That's 34% of the police budget. I told you that Austin has gone blue, and this proves it. The state is red, Austin's blue, San Antonio some blue, El Paso some blue, and of course, we'll see how much it continues to change over. But what they stepped up for is to take money from the police in Austin, Texas. And at the same time, you've got President would-be Harris and that party calling for more gun confiscation. Oh, they don't call it that. They label it other things. They hide behind fancy words. They talk about a mandatory buyback. But don't forget that Joe Biden at one point was asked by a worker on some tour he was on, are you going to take our guns, our AK-47? And Biden basically said, yes, we are, man. You can count on it. We're going to take it from you. This is what you want for our nation. Every city, state, county that has blue leadership has troubles, massive problems, and the left has to ignore it because to speak out means death, political suicide. Chicago. Let me work my attention away from Austin and focus on Chicago and the lesson to be learned from what's happening in Chicago. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We should have been doing felony charges 2 months ago when the city of Chicago was first rioted and ransacked by these organized looters. And now to say that we're finally taking action after the second round only sends the message that Chicago does not have a unified crime-fighting strategy because politicians are too busy bickering than they are protecting the public.
Those are the words of the Chicago Alderman, 15th Ward, Raymond Lopez, a Democrat. And he's blasting the leadership in his city, particularly the Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, who had put in an editorial basically indicating she's going to do things better and that she knows what to do and she's in charge and just going to make it all go away because of the looting recently. But you heard him say she should have been doing this back when we had the other looting back in May. Remember that? According to the Chicago Tribune, her office has dismissed more than 25,000 felony cases, including murder cases. 35% higher dismissal than her predecessor. So when you hear Lopez point out and respond to that editorial saying that should have been seeing this before, he also adds that she just doesn't understand.
The approach Kim Fox is taking is to deflect from her responsibility and her fail to actually do her job, which is to prosecute criminals, not just during the recent events, but for the entire duration of her first term and as she pursues a course in her second term. You know, you have to show that there are repercussions for bad behavior. That's not a partisan issue. That's not a political issue. That is a universal issue that if you do something wrong, you must be held accountable. And she has failed consistently over the years. And now is just the culmination of all of those efforts to show that there is no accountability, that now we're seeing what that has led our city to become.
And that is happening all across the nation in Democrat-operated cities. Why? Just like what we were talking about at San Fran a moment ago. They either enable or they just do nothing to put a halt to it. They just kind of accept it. They're willing to kind of go along to get along. That's what they're doing. They're selling out every time they need to. Now, they'll get tough when they have to, but then they will turn the corner. Perfect example will be would-be President Kamala Harris when she was a prosecutor. Always talking about how big of a top cop she was. But now, it's not good to wear that badge. So she puts it in the drawer and says, you know, I'm for defunding police. How can you go from being a prosecutor, the top cop of California, to now saying we should defund police? Lopez says, the alderman in Chicago says, citizens in Chicago, he believes, will actually step up and help fight crime if this happens.
Throughout many of Chicago's neighborhoods, and I represent some of the most difficult communities in Chicago when it comes to some of the violence that we see, people are willing to step up if they know that elected officials and the police are willing to act. No one wants to go out on a limb alone. And that is where I think that we have the true test will be whether or not CPD, whether or not the state's attorney, and whether or not Lori Lightfoot pushes people to act. Simply putting videos out for the sake of entertainment will do nothing unless we are willing to prosecute and hold people responsible.
And that's what they've been doing over Chicago TV and so forth, putting out the video of all these folks looting and making it available for people to track them down, to call and report them. And maybe they will, if they believe they will be protected and the city will act. James Carafano coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
Always glad to have on board and welcome back James Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. James, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be with you.
Oh, good. I thought I lost you for a minute. Last time we were talking, you were on a bus. Well, where are you this time?
I'm stationary.
Good. All right. Good. I want to make sure. I mean, you know, you're not standing in the bus lane, are you? I don't want you to get run over the process.
No,
so, listen, we were talking before you joined us here about all this rioting that's been going on, Chicago, of course, being one of the most recent events, but extensive rioting still in Portland. A lot of folks see, well, it starts as a protest, and then suddenly just erupts into violence. But that's not the truth, is it?
Oh, absolutely not at all. Matter of fact, the riots and the attacks are specifically designed and organized and timed to fall after the protest. So people can either claim, oh, it was just protest because they're talking about the stuff that occurred before, or, oh, well, that's just, you know, some crazy people that get attacked on in the end. So they're using the protest as the cover to disguise the riots and give credence to people who say, oh, this is mostly about protesting George Floyd and rights and everything else. And it's not. It's an organized criminal activity to specifically intimidate and destroy property and hurt people.
And to that extent, if we look at what is then used against police officers or federal agents, they're not something they just found handy. They come prepared with their own battle gear to go against the law enforcement agencies.
Right, and that's another, I think, indicator that this is organized criminal activity. And I use the word organized in a specific way because the process of organizing a criminal enterprise is in itself a very serious crime that has to be taken care of. And here's the problem, and we're seeing this in Portland and Seattle and Chicago. Not only are state and local authorities not cooperating with the federal government, but they are not prosecuting people that they're arresting. And prosecution is a key component. Not only is prosecution a deterrent against further criminal activity, but prosecution helps you put together the pieces of the organized criminal organization so then you can go after them.
And that's a key point. That's a very big key point. I want to make sure I emphasize that because we're not just talking about going after the crime they did at that moment, but to have them start rolling over and giving us the details of the conspiracy because that is the larger picture.
Right. So if you think, for example, we never made progress against, the mafia. The mafia had a very specific organization. You had soldiers, and then you had, above them a captain, and then an underboss, and then the boss. And the whole idea behind the RICO, RICO criminal conspiracy cases, you had to prove that the people above them were actually connected in organizing the criminal activity. And so you had to get out of the motor, just arresting, the soldier on the street wasn't ever going to take down the mafia. They just get another soldier. The reason why you went after lower people is you had to work your way up and kind of map out the chain of command. So by people being arrested, the police arresting these people, taking them into the thing, and then they're just, bailed out, and the prosecutors say, well, we're not even going to prosecute this. You're essentially, that's like, bailing out the bathtub with the water running full.
And
you're never going to take down the organized criminal activity. And indeed, what we see is state and local officials essentially aiding and abetting organized criminal activity by not going after them.
And the would-be President Harris had been contributing to the Minnesota Defense Fund after the George Floyd thing. They had a big fund gathering something like $35 million, and she was encouraging folks to give to that fund to help, quote, protesters. But some of that same money was then also being used to bail out a guy who was charged with stabbing to death a friend, another one who was accused on sexual assault charges, and that they were bailed out using this fund, which supposedly was to help protesters get bailed out. So once the money gets thrown into the pool, they're using it for all kinds of additional criminal enhancement and enabling.
So this is a really key point. Like people that gave money to help out their dear old friends in Ireland, in the time of troubles. And what they were really doing was they were funding the IRA, which is a terrorist army. I think, we've seen big corporations, major donors, individuals, people who are giving money, and they're not really clear who they're giving money to and what that money is being used for. They need to start paying a lot more due diligence, or they could well find themselves contributing to organized crime. And I think if you're a major company and it turns out that you gave somebody $100 million and that money was actually used to organize attacks against the federal government, I don't think that does much to what people are going to think about your company and the leadership of your company.
I'm going to ask you directly. Are you suggesting BLM?
Well, I where there's smoke, there's fire. So when you hear a lot of this activity associated with Antifa and the Black Lives Matter, not the movement of fighting for racial justice, but the movement of this organization and this Black Lives Matter network, we see way too many coincidences where they are connected to these things. That is not the logical place to go and look. It's people used to go to Joey Gallo and the Bonanno family and say, why are you picking on us? Because we're Italian. And they go, no, because your name is most frequently associated with organized criminal activity, my friend. That's why we're investigating.
Let me get your take on this. I did the other day something I thought I would never do. I gave some praise to Mayor Lori Lightfoot. I gave some praise to the Portland Mayor Wheeler, because Lightfoot had come out and said after the riding there, there was no excuse, no justification for what you did. And Wheeler had even finally come around and said, if you're trying to burn down a building with people in it, that's attempted murder. So those two statements stand out, but that's about all they do. They stand out. They don't seem to go past that point.
Right. And, we wrote a paper on this at heritage.org, a 14-point action plan for dealing with targeted violence in our cities. Look, there's no way of getting around this. If you want safe streets and equal protection under the law, that occurs best when city, state, and federal officials are working together. When they are working across purposes or actually trying to countervail the others, it doesn't work. We're never going to make our streets safe by not cooperating. And I have to be honest here. I think if you look at those cities and you ask, why are we not networking with the federal government, there's only two answers. Either it's because we have a very partisan agenda and we can't work with somebody because we can't be seen to be bipartisan. we can't seem to be working with somebody who we politically oppose, or you're actually in collusion
right.
with these organized criminal activities. I mean, those are the only two explanations, because common sense is not an explanation. There's no common sense why a mayor would let people burn their city to the ground, other than the fact that it's bad politics for them to stop it, or they're actually in cahoots with the people trying to do it. I don't have another explanation.
You're listening to James Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. So it's almost laughable, and yet it's not, when I look at this lawsuit that was filed on behalf of the rioters, not protesters. They want to mix the terms and say protesting, when obviously when they start throwing Molotov cocktails and attacking police, they've gone past the First Amendment peaceful assembly. But on that point, where some of them were then suing and saying, we need tax money to pay for us so we have proper gear to protect ourselves. We don't have the good shields or the helmets that the police have. We need to have similar equipment. In other words,
yeah.
We want to arm the enemy.
Yeah, it'd be like John Dillinger suing because it's so hard to break into a bank.
Yeah. But they seem to have a mindset that it's acceptable.
Well, look here. I think this is a very key point. It's not just guys with Molotov cocktails and steel ball bearings and explosives and accelerants. There is a legal arm to this, lawfare. I mean, they're in using courts and spending millions of dollars with lawyers trying to run a legal strategy to enable the violence. There is an organized propaganda network telling people how to tweet, when to tweet, how to engage. There's an organized campaign in Portland, for example, for restaurants, intimidating restaurants, saying, put up signs that say police are not welcome to eat in this restaurant because it makes this restaurant unsafe. So there's a multifaceted campaign out there. I mean, you know, just like the IRA had a military wing and a political wing and a diplomatic strategy and a propaganda strategy, these guys do. This is a very sophisticated, organized network that we're facing. Whoever is behind it, I have to be honest, I don't know. But what you have is an armed militia. And, you know, and look, again, this is just factual. If somebody went to me and said, well, what's the difference between what these guys are doing and what Hezbollah does? And I would look you in the eye and say, you know what? Not much.
All right, James, we'll wrap it on that. That's an excellent point. As always, we appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
I'm
going
to go jump on a bus now.
Okay. All right, buddy. I will look forward to seeing you again, sir. Thank you very much. James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation. That was a very telling interview. If you missed part of it or you want to share it with someone, remember to be posted later at Larry Connors USA Facebook as a podcast. So Dolly Parton's name being trotted out is saying, look who's now supporting Black Lives Matter. That story coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, so many on the left got so excited because they had word that Dolly Parton was endorsing Black Lives Matter. Let me put it in context for you. She gave, of course, she's a legendary country star, spoke to Billboard magazine, and they were asking about racial tension. And they asked about Black Lives Matter movement. Here's her quote. I understand people having to make themselves known and felt and seen. And then when she was asked about the actual protest, she said, and of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No. I think many of us have said that. Yes, Black Lives Matter, as do white lives, as do brown lives, as do yellow lives. All lives matter. But that's apparently something that you can't say. By the way, she did something in 2018 I didn't really pay attention to, and I don't know if some others had. I don't remember seeing it anywhere. And it's interesting because she had at her Dollywood dinner attraction. I have not been to Dollywood. I don't know if some of you have. They have what they call the Dixie Stampede. Now, the Dixie Stampede, well, there were those who began to say, that's racist, Dixie. According to the Atlantic magazine, that term was popularized by a songwriter, a star of minstrel shows. Of course, those many regarded as being racially inappropriate at that time, but they existed during that time in the region. And Dolly Parton said, well, there's such a thing as an innocent ignorance, and so many of us are guilty of that. When they said Dixie was an offensive word, I thought, well, I don't want to offend anybody. This is a business. We'll just call it the Stampede. She did that in 2018. Didn't make a big deal out of it. Just, okay, if it is offensive, I don't think it is. I never did it for that purpose, but fine, I'll take it off. Why not? No big deal. You know what's happened since that time? Lady Antebellum and the Dixie Chicks just recently followed suit, dropping their names, Lady Antebellum, because the Antebellum reference to the times of the South, of the Antebellum mansions. And then, of course, the Dixie Chicks, they had the word Dixie in them. Antebellum is now just Lady A, and the Dixie Chicks, who I could care less about, are just the Chicks. Dolly did it a couple of years ago. Well, they're going to be shortly wrapping up the Sturgis Bike Rally, 10-day event in Sturgis, the 80th annual, and the numbers appear to be about 250,000 plus that showed up. That's about half what they normally would. Some of it obviously blamed on the COVID concern. And, of course, every time I've been there, we often at one point schedule a ride through Custer National Park, and you see a lot of bison, buffalo, American buffalo. The term buffalo actually, or those are actually, and they're bigger than our bison. They're actually in Asia and Africa. But from Europe and the American continent, you have the bison. But we call it a buffalo. Anyway, you go through Custer State Park, you're going to see a lot of them. And many times they're crossing the road, you have to come to a stop, let them pass. And it's a great photo op, obviously. But if you're smart, you don't get real close to them. They're still wild animals. Well, there was a group of bikers that had to stop because the bison were across the road walking across, and apparently there was in the middle of the road a female, a cow, and her calf, and the calf was nursing at the time, right in the middle of the road. Well, they're going to wait until it finishes, except for one rider, a woman. I guess she was going to get a picture. I'm not sure. It's not clear to me, but for some reason she decided, I'm going to get closer. Well, she frightened the calf, and the calf ran, and now she is between the calf and the mother. You never want to do that in the wild. You don't do it with the bears, you don't do it with the bison, you don't do it with any animal. Get between the mother and the baby. So the bison turned on her, hooked her clothing in the horns and began to shake her violently, spinning her around. Other bikers are looking and shouting, and some video is then being shot on phones and so forth, and you see some of the bikers running forward and some reaching for their waist. You know they're carrying, and they're thinking, we may have to shoot this thing to save the woman. Now, of course, that would have been a shame because the bison wasn't doing anything it shouldn't and wouldn't normally do. And the bikers would have been just fine if they'd just let them go when they were ready to go. You go to Sturgis, you're not really on any time schedule. They could sit there 30 minutes if they had to. Probably wouldn't have lasted that long. And you certainly don't get between them. And you don't get between the mother and the calf. So some of them were already reaching for their waistband as if they're going to pull a pistol and have to shoot the bison to save the woman. Finally, he shakes her free, or she shakes the woman free, rips her pants off in the process, and then the bison goes running off because the calf is at a distance now. Well, they ran up, and one of the guys ripping off his shirt to cover the woman because she was apparently had no clothes on, at least from the waist down or more. She was taken into the hospital, flown into a area hospital, and now they're saying that injuries are not serious, but that should be a life lesson. A lot of stories coming out of Sturgis all the time. Some are good, some funny, and some are just, you shouldn't have done that one, should you? Coming up the next hour, we're going back to 1964, a speech Ronald Reagan made that could be very effective today against the Democrats. And I talked about Dolly Parton a moment ago. We're going to wrap up the next hour talking about Hank Williams Jr. because he's going into the Country Hall of Fame. And I'm not going to miss that opportunity to have some fun with that story. Stick around. It's coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.